Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 509 for December 15th, 2017. It is the holiday season. Happy Winter's Vale, everybody. Joining me today, a very special guest. Everybody else had shit. Everybody else had things to do. So we drug in an old pal. Not that this is the only time I want you on, by the way. I wouldn't mind doing this more often, but very...
No, it's okay. I know. I'm the remains. It's all right.
I will say my first choice when we're left with less choices, Garrett Weinzierl, everybody. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, man, I know what I'm putting on my resume.
That's right.
Yeah.
Put that on on the back of your box. You'll sell more copies that way.
Exactly.
It's good to have you here. Of course, Garrett Weinzierl, the host and founder of such things as The Angry Chicken, along with his fine co-hosts, Jocelyn and Dills, and many other projects, including a little Star Wars podcast, which they'll talk about spoilers about today's movie. We're not going to do it at all, folks.
We're not going to do it. I'm going to try to not even give an opinion.
Nope.
Nope. I'm still thinking about it.
Let's put it this way. You are a long-time, dyed-in-the-wool, even enjoyed the prequels kind of Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I mean, I was really young when Mr. Phantom Menace came to visit our town.
Sure, and, sure.
I still liked it at the time. As I've gotten older, I don't like it that much. But I will fight you tooth and nail and tell you that Revenge of the Sith is a good movie.
Okay. Even the part where it's like, my legs. It was dumb.
I mean, that part's great, man. I mean, how it happened right before it with some high ground throwing back and forth, that's not so great.
But no.
I think it's pretty cool, and he's sitting there with only his robot arm left.
I've got the high ground, Anakin. And also, you got that dumb no at the end. Right?
I mean, yes. Is all of it perfect? No. But no. I still enjoy
it. The answer is all of it perfect? No, it's not. It's far from it. No,
you got two rights, guys. There's like a peak and then a drop. It's like, no.
I besmirch you know nothing for your love of Star Wars. And I think that's great. But suffice it to say, I'm guessing you probably liked it. And that's great. And I'm stoked to see it. And so as soon as this show's over, actually, I'm in the car and on my way to a rented theater where we're going to watch it. I did not rent it. Someone else
just
did.
Just call me back after this. I'll be in the car. You'll be in the car. Let's record a car podcast where we just spoil the thing.
Oh, sure. We'll call it CarCast. And hot new podcast coming soon. You got to check it out on iTunes, everybody. Leave a review. All right. Hey, it's good to have you here sitting in with us today. Of course, talking World of Warcraft and all things Blizzard. Before, though, we get to any of the stuff going on this weekend, honestly, there's not a ton happening news-wise, although I do have some Antorus thoughts after doing a bit of that raid this week. I wanted to start off, before we get to any of that, talking to you, given your expertise about dungeon runs in Hearthstone and why I think that mode should just be Hearthstone. Like I realize when I say this that this is going to come off as like the rest of the game's not worth it for me, but this part is. And when I say that, I know what that implies, and I want to make sure I'm clear about this right up top. The reason dungeon runs works is because of the huge amount of rad content that exists because Hearthstone's lifespan has continued to add things. In other words, dungeon runs don't work without the depth of Hearthstone as it is today. So I know that going in, but gosh dang it, dude, that is such a rad mode. It's all I want to do.
I feel like you're defending yourself against YouTube comments that haven't even come yet, Scott. I was going to go a lot easier on you and go, well, I understand, like, Hearthstone's not like typical Hearthstone, the ladder grind. That's not really your jam, and that's fine. That's totally fine if that's not your jam.
Yeah. And there's plenty of people whose jam it is, and I'm glad it's their jam. I'm more of a jelly guy. But no, I like Hearthstone for all the things that it is. I don't like how bad I am at it. And I've always been bad at it. And for whatever reason, that bugs me. And even dungeon runs, I'm not that great at. I have yet to clear an eighth boss on any character. Ooh, so, and I played hours and hours and hours and hours of this thing. So that's how bad I suck. But I'll say that the actual loop of that, the roguelike sort of get in, do the best you can, die, get out, try it again thing is totally my jam. I love that. I've been playing. All you have to do is say, hey, Scott, there's a new roguelike on Steam. And I go, ooh, and I run over to check it out and maybe buy it. Like, I love that stuff. And they have captured that here in a really strong way, minus a couple of caveats I kind of wish were there. But here's my biggest concern, and as a representative of the Angry Chicken and of the the Hearthstone community at large, I have this question for you. Do you think it persists beyond this expansion, and why is it so nestled away in the solo adventures thing? This needs to be a button out on the front. It needs to be like up front and center. Tell me about where your head's at with all that.
Well, it's a loaded question, Scott. Do I think it should continue beyond this?
Yeah.
110%. It's an amazing mode.
Yeah.
Do I think Team 5 will give us what we ask for? No, because they never do.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's true. They don't. I mean, they give you the game you want, but all the little things like tournament mode and things like that, they never seem to quite give you what you want. They keep dangling in front of you. And maybe this is one of those deals where, you know, what we want, we may not get. Because it makes me nervous every time I go in there and I look at the solo adventures and I go, okay, what do we have here? All right, there's this little kobolds and catacombs deal, and there's this little teeny thing there that says dungeon runs, and I'm thinking, boy, that sure is minuscule. That feels like they're trying to tell me that it's a small thing, temporary, only going to be there for a little bit, and I don't like that feeling. So,
well, I don't think it's not going to go anywhere. I think it'll stay in the game forever, but I'm not sure they'll add on to it, at least not in the near future. It seems, at least with the discussion, with the talks we had with the devs at BlizzCon, it kind of seemed like, well, it's for kobolds and catacombs, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I really hope not, because it's really good. Yeah. It is the coolest thing I think they've done in the game.
It deserves to be extended and given life beyond this. It really does. So I hope Team 5 does that. It's made me think. Here's what it did to me. That I didn't expect. It made me think of all the other ways other Blizzard games could add roguelike modes to their games. From Overwatch down to WoW. The only game that really has a mode like this is Diablo. It sort of always has with hardcore characters. And it's a true rogue experience where you're dead, you lose everything. Except I guess Diablo 3 features you get to keep backup gear or something, but like Diablo 2 days, if you made a hardcore character and he died, you're done. That's it. Go make another one. Didn't matter how many hours you spent or whatever. And I love that loop. But I also like the modern conveniences where they, you know, let you bring a little something back with you.
Yeah.
This Hearthstone mode doesn't really do that either, other than the satisfaction of clearing something, which is nice.
I've been comparing it to MOBAs, man. Like, pick your MOBA. You play a game through whatever level you get your talents or you get your gear if you're not playing Heroes.
Yeah.
And next game, you don't have any of that stuff again. Start from square one. Start over. Doesn't matter whether you won or lost.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But at least in those, you got some gold, some XP. You maybe open a loot box. Like,
actually, that's a really good question, Scott. So since this seems to be your thing. Like the way you want to play Hearthstone now.
Absolutely my thing. 100%, despite not clearing 8 bosses on anybody. Yeah, it is 100% my thing. Yes.
So what do you think that there's no rewards? Does it matter to you? Because we've spent a lot of time on the Angry Chicken talking about this since it was announced and since we found out that there would be no rewards. And all of us kind of agree that it would be really nice if free-to-play players could gain anything, gold at a slower rate than other modes, or a pack here and there, whatever, what have you. Does that affect you as someone who doesn't really ladder that much?
Well, here's the problem. Let's say you're a brand new player coming to the game. To them, they actually do get a little something, and they get XP with these characters, because they don't have all their cards yet, and they don't have their basic sets, their basic cards. So when they start, let's say they come in with a mage, they're like, boy, I sure enjoyed that tutorial with the mage. What's this catacombs and kobolds deal? Which, by the way, I think is going to be hard for a new player to find personally, but whatever. Let's say they find it and they get in there and they start playing it. they're going to unlock cards because they're leveling up quick. They're getting to like level 10 faster than, you know, once you get to those higher levels, it takes forever to level anything. So to them, they are getting something. And I think that's a pretty good ramp to earn your cards. And then now you've got, you know, all your basic hunter cards. You got all your basic paladin cards or whatever. And then you can kind of move on from there. It's after that that you don't get anything. And I think that post that, it'd be nice if there was just a little gold, maybe. Just a little. I'm not talking a ton. They already don't give you a ton for anything anyway. So why not just like, oh, you got past 5 bosses. Here's 20 gold. You did all 8? Sweet, well done. That's 50 gold. You don't even have to give me enough for a pack yet. But whatever those numbers should be, just a little something. Hell, I'd take a gold. Yeah. I'd take 1 gold per boss. If it just needs to give you that sensation that I came here, I did a lot, and I walked away with something.
That's kind of okay. That's interesting. I'm glad to hear that because Joss and Dills and I have all kind of landed on more or less the same thing as well. It's like it doesn't have to be a lot.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be more efficient than playing against another player because that is harder and more difficult to pull off. But it just feels like there should be something, a little something, because you're right. I mean, if you come into this game fresh mm-hmm. and you start dungeon running, you're gonna unlock your basic cards, but it is very difficult, very, very difficult right now to ascend the ranks with a basic card collection.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying like if you play a game like Rogue Legacy, which I loved that game, just 2D sort of Castlevania style game that got easier as you went because you would keep your gold, any gold you earned, an XP you would earn, you would apply it to stuff in between rounds. So you'd be done. You'd say, all right, well, I'm going to upgrade his HP, or I'm going to upgrade his damage per second or whatever. And then the next round was a little bit easier. You get a little further because you have these bonuses. Plus they have this system where you would die and you would become an ancestor immediately. And then you could choose which of his offspring you would be. And each of those offspring maybe had a bonus. Some of them had real negatives, like one of them colorblind. So now the whole next round is all black and white or, you know, weird stuff like that. And I like those modern tweaks to the Rogue experience, the go in all in and then die and start over mode. I like those modern takes. So I think it's a missed opportunity if they don't tune this or look at it for a future expansion and say, all right, well, here's what we're adding to that mode. And they really ought to just put it on the front. Just stick it right out front, dude. I think it's that good. It deserves a place there. But yeah, gameplay wise, freaking the minute to minute gameplay is amazing. It's everything I wanted that to be. And then some. And again, credit goes to the depth of the game as it already stood, because it makes this kind of mode all the better because there's a lot of depth there that they can
play. Yeah, I mean, it pulls from cards from every set going back to basic. And you're right. I think they probably could have pulled it off if they had this from the beginning. But the fact that they have so many cards to pull from, whether it's standard or wild, both pop up as quote unquote loot as you're running. Mm-hmm. There's so many layers to it, Scott.
It's really good. But all it did. Oh, and my whole point was, I forgot to finish my point. My whole point was, this got me thinking about how could they do more of this sort of thing in WoW? Is there a mode that could happen there? Could they do something in Heroes of the Storm and their recent dungeon thing there, the brawl they did where it was a co-op PvE sort of thing and they had a heroic version. It was awesome.
So cool.
It was so good. And that kind of was like that a little bit, a cooperative sort of version of that. So that was really cool. I like that they're experimenting this way. I'd like to see more stuff on mobile this way. I don't know what their mobile project is. But then here's the funny effect. I haven't played Diablo in months because I kind of, you know, you play Diablo for a ton and then you kind of have to get away from it for a while. This made me, all this Hearthstone made me want to go play Diablo weirdly, because it's that same feeling of like, I don't know what I'm going to get. I'm going to go in there. Let's see how this goes. I made a hardcore character, like had a very weird
effect.
It feels
like a dungeon crawl.
It really does. And they've done, that is the number one cool thing about this is it feels, somehow they made a card game feel like I'm on a dungeon crawl and I don't know what's around the next corner. And am I prepared? And did I find the right loot? And when I did find the loot, did I choose the right thing? And like all of these parts of that loop are super solid, and it will piss me off if they don't do something more with it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's fine if they don't update it every expansion, but maybe at least once a year. I would love to see they if they announce, hey, there's 8 new potential bosses you could stumble across, or instead of going up to 8, it's up to 9 or up to 10. Just keep cranking it up and making it harder for giving us more ridiculous loot to actually make it winnable.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many directions they went, and while I think the focus of the critique of Dungeon Run, it really is on the rewards of it. Overall, it's just like what they have managed to pull off, whether you don't think they're giving you enough. Well, I mean, they're not really giving me anything, or whether you think it should have been multiplayer, which I think that'd be really cool if it was.
Sure.
What they have managed to make within the confines of their system is it blew me away. Like I told this dude, Dave Kosak, crashed the Angry Chicken at BlizzCon. Yeah. This was his main jam, was building the Dungeon Run.
Yeah.
And I told him to his face, I'm like, I didn't know that I wanted this. This is not what, because I forget, Young said something like, oh, what'd you think of our announcement this year? And I was like, well, once again, you guys did not announce anything I wanted.
Yeah.
But you announced something I didn't know I wanted, which was the Dungeon Run.
Yeah, and his signatures, Kozak's signatures all over this thing. Like the humor of it. I mean, it reminds me of his old work on GameSpy back in the day when he and I were doing comics over there. Like he has got, this has his thing, his smear, his smell is all over Dungeon Runs. And that is awesome. So I am really glad for them. Let's see what happens in the future, how it maybe informs. I like when other Blizzard games inform other Blizzard games and give each other ideas. I see no reason why everybody can't steal a little thunder from Team 5 today and add that to their games. And Diablo's like, we've been here the whole time. What are you talking about? Anyway, here's this. All right, we're going to dive into some of the news here. Actually, another semi-related crossover piece of news here about Celestalon, who has spent a great amount, in fact the more part of his time at Blizzard has been spent on the WoW team. He has been working on all sorts of systems and questing and all that stuff over there, and when I talked to him at BlizzCon, Chad, aka Celestalon Purple Hair Man, said that he was working on something really cool, but he couldn't say what it was. I said, okay, well, I'll you know, pick your brain later about it. I don't know if this was it or if something changed gears, but Celestalon has moved to the Hearthstone team. Here's what he said in a quote. Classes, system spreadsheets, and occasional obscure quest lines. These have been the primary focus of my life for years now. I cannot thank the WoW community enough for your passion, for your friendship, for the laughs, the excitement, and being able to do something I love. It has been an honor. But the time has come for me to adventure elsewhere within Azeroth and tackle a different challenge. Cards. I'll see you soon, Hearthstone fans. So what do you think he brings to that team? What are you excited about there?
Like you said, he's been working on so much over at World of Warcraft, which is such a robust game compared to the extremely focused scope of Hearthstone. So I hope Hearthstone gets even weirder. Like, Dungeon Runs are the weirdest damn thing they could add to that game.
Yeah.
And I hope with Celestalon going over there, it means more surprises from Team 5.
Well, it's definitely not the first dude to move over there. We were talking about Dave Kosak. He was same deal, working on WoW forever. That's, you know, mm-hmm. ever since he's been at Blizzard, and then suddenly over to Hearthstone. I found that particular move kind of surprising, but in the wake of that, hearing Celestalon's moving or anyone else maybe moving is not that shocking to me. And I think this, you know, says good things about Team 5 acquiring talent from other games that are maybe a little more established. I mean, that just seems silly to even say it. WoW's, you know, 14 years or whatever established, so it's plenty established, but they can probably afford to let some of their smart guys go to some of the scrappier teams, and seems like he'll be a good addition to the team. Now, if they all end up dyeing their hair blue, I'm going to be ticked. So,
well, that goes. Well, what color would you be happy with?
I don't know what I'd be happy with. Maybe just leave it all alone, Celeste. He listens to the show, so I hope he's taking offense, and we can talk about it on Twitter. It'd be fine.
I mean, Scott, you're starting to look like a member of NoFX with that spiked hair, so you should probably get some dye in there as well.
I need to get this. I need a trim is what I need. But not today. Today is not that day. I'm going to sit in a movie theater and bug someone behind me because my hair is too tall. You know how that is. You know what that's like.
Oh, yes, I do.
You're doing it now. Somebody somewhere is ticked that you're in front of them. I don't know who, but somebody.
Whoever's behind me is the answer to that question.
Anyway, we'll see what that turns out to be. All right. There was also a little data mining that went on this week, as often happens. It was reported in a few places, including MMO Champion, that we think we know what's going to happen to our artifact weapons. Now, I'm not going to say on the show what that is because a lot of people would be ticked. That seems like a major story point. I did not mind being spoiled on it because I generally don't mind spoilers. But so I'm not going to say it here, but I just wanted to assure the community who may listen to this as one of their primary sources of information. Why you do that, I don't know. But if you do, they find a, how do I put this? They find an appropriate end. We know they're ending because they've told us that.
I feel like I need to play Patrick here. It's like, Scott, you can't say that. You can't say anything. You just spoiled it by saying that.
That's what he would say. He would absolutely be saying that right now. In fact, he's probably saying it muffled through some scarf in Helsinki where he is today.
I was screaming at my speakers. Was it last week or was it 2 weeks ago when you were talking about the ending cinematic to Antorus? And he's just like, no, you're spoiling it because you're referencing a main player in it. And I'm just like, Patrick, this main player has literally been the main player the entire expansion. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's why. That's my whole point with these things is like, in this case, we already know. They told us at BlizzCon and elsewhere. Ian has said it in interviews and stuff. We are not carrying those weapons through to the next expansion. We know this. This is already a done, known thing. This was a Legion-only thing. We have something similar to it with that neck piece in the next expansion, but that was meant for Legion and Legion alone, and some are sad about that, and I get that, but we knew they weren't going to move forward. The question was, well, where are they going then? Are we hanging them on our wall? Are we just, do they just stop working? Are they just, you know, like what's
well, first
the deal?
We need a wall to hang it on. Right. What wall are we keeping? I don't think we're going back to our class halls very much in Warp or Azeroth, so.
No, I don't think class halls are going to be kind of empty. My garrison is just one big like environmental mistake. It's just sitting there.
I want them to do an update to where I go back to it and it looks like a building out of The Last of Us where vegetation has just taken over.
And what mushroom headed weirdos are roaming the place. You gotta
maybe
kill
not
those.
That far, but just okay. The way that the nature has had it taken its course with the garrison.
I'm all for that. I think that's a great idea. That's a really good idea. At the very least, I can just say this, that don't worry, your weapons have an end, okay? And we knew that, but so this is not a spoiler. That part's not a spoiler. I just happen to know what it is right now. If you want to go find out, you can. There are plenty of sources for this, and you can find out what happens. It's some data mine dialogue that gave it away, so there's that. Mm. But I'm not going to spoil it. All right. Did some Antorus stuff this week. So the raid team I'm on, FERT, they're called. They named themselves after the fact that I'd write the word FERT a lot, which is like a fart sound. So hey.
It is literally how you greet people on any text-based messaging system.
That's true. Like, you could send me a message and say, hey, what's the deal with something? And I go, oh, FERT, let me tell you. And then I'll talk to you normally. Like, I don't know what my problem is, but it is a thing I do. So they named their entire team that. I'm on this team. They've been pretty dutifully raiding every week, and I've been sort of spotty. But I did get in there Wednesday night, and was it Wednesday or last Sunday? No, it was Sunday. Sorry. I don't know what it was. Whatever it was. They have on farm and one-shotted the first time in there that Garothi Worldbreaker and Fellhounds of Sargeras. No problem. Boom, bam, dead. They couldn't believe it. They were like, whoa, what is our team awesome? Is this raid horribly undertuned? Like, what's going on? How do you one-shot anything your first time in with only a couple of video views to help you through? And we're not a hardcore team by any stretch. Like, we're just like, let's have fun. All right, you died. Oh, that's okay. We'll do it again kind of guys.
Oh, good. You're metering my response, which is, well, Scott, I haven't raided with them in a while, but get your crit together. He's been one-shotting a bunch of stuff expansion on their first attempts.
Of course they have, because they're better than us. And I'll fully admit that. So, you know, it's a big, friendly, goofy, dumb group, and we're just having a good time. But no, the Antoran High Command says, F that. Get out of our house, they say. You get in there, and we keep doing it. We just keep getting our asses handed to us. So I don't know why that is or what can be done about it, but we're just pounding our heads against the sand there with Antoran High Command. You haven't run it yet, but I'm guessing you're going to probably do better than us because your little raid team that offshoot over there, you guys are hardcore.
I'm that guy that shows up when he feels like it. they're really nice to me over there because it's hard for me to carve out time for raiding right now But I would like to be rating. I've had some souls or class soul searching this expansion. It's been a class soul search for Garrett. Yeah. I started on my paladin, realized I really hated playing Brett. Then I did something I always wanted to do. I went and finally maxed out a Death Knight and declared that my new main. And now, all these raids later, yeah. I realize I really hate playing a Death Knight. I can't stand it. I cannot stand the way their DPS specs work. I like tanking on a Death Knight, but
sure.
If you're that member of the raid that kind of shows up sometimes, you don't get to tank. That's not how it works.
No, they're carrying you basically. They do with me. Yeah. I can attest to that. So hold on. Yeah. Tell me what it is about the DPS specs on the Death Knight that you don't like. What, it's just the rotation? You don't like the feel of it?
Yeah. I don't like the feel of it. Me and Hokito have spent many an evening pontificating on how much we don't like what they did with Frost this expansion. I know it's changed since, but I was so burned. I was trying to get into it, trying to make it work, and I finally came to the realization that I should have always just been playing a warrior because I've always liked warriors. Every expansion I've enjoyed warriors, so I'm leveling up a warrior right now.
Oh, well, good. That sounds all right. I did a similar thing there where I was really disenchanted with the way hunters felt at the beginning of this expansion. And I've mained a hunter since day one, since Alpha, really. And and I thought, well, now's my time to really... I mean, I've got lots of ults and even some max level ults, but I didn't really care much other than I enjoyed getting them to wherever they were, and it was a fun quest thing, and I got to see new zones or whatever, and those are the reasons they even exist. But I would always go back to the hunter for any sort of mainline thing I was doing. So I decided this time to switch gears and go... And I've talked about it on the show, but I went like full-on mage for a while and paid like a $60... what do you call it? Boost and all that. And then, and then, you know, thought, oh, well, now I've invested in it. So now I need to give all my time for this mage. And then I kept kind of cranking on it. And then I got to a point where I went, I really don't like what they did to Frost. Speaking of Frost, another Frost problem. I don't like what they did with Frost. Frost is jacked up. In my opinion, it's not as fun as it used to be. So I am a Frost guy. I really like ice powers. Like, just from a lore perspective, I want a frosty mage is what I want.
Yeah. I'm such an Arthas fanboy, man. It's what turned me into the Blizzard fan that I am was Warcraft 3 and seeing Arthas' story. So, you know, when I read what was happening with artifacts and that every class and every spec was going to have its own unique story and that Frosty Ks were getting the shards of Frostmourne to build their little mini dual wielding Frostmourne versions.
Yeah.
I was on board. And I got to say, I've played through a few of the Class Order Hall campaigns right now, and the Death Knight one is just out of the park in terms of lore quality, but I just don't like playing it.
The second-to-second play is what matters, unfortunately, and I ended up doing that with this mage, same feeling, and went back to kind of mainline in the Hunter again, and they've done some things to the Hunter to make me less dissatisfied with some of the specs that I enjoyed, but anyway, now I understand why you like the prequels. It just hit me. If you like Arthas that much.
Oh, hold on.
It's the Anakin story, dude. Arthas is Anakin. That's totally what he is, right?
Well, you could also argue it's just kind of the Blizzard story. Like, Kerrigan is Anakin. Arthas is Anakin.
Yeah.
Leah is Anakin.
Yeah. I'm starting to think Chris Metzen might have been Anakin. I'm thinking that might have been.
Has he ever told you he's the most powerful game developer ever?
No, he never did tell me that. But he did. He did kill a room full of Jedi children. So, no, he didn't do that.
That
sounds awful. I've taken it too far.
I cannot even picture that in my head.
I don't know. He's too nice. Here's the thing. I got good news about on that front. He's everyone really enjoyed his interview we did last year post his retirement. He's coming back. So we're going to have another one in January sometime talking what's going on since then and what is his feelings about a lot of the stuff that's came since he left. And what's he excited about now? Is he got any new projects and all that kind of stuff? So if you guys enjoyed that Metzen interview from last year, and I know many of you did, it was a real deep dive into a lot of personal stuff he decided to go ahead and make that interview about, which was awesome. And there's been no end to the emails or tweets or people who've come to me and said, you have no idea how important that interview was for me personally to hear. And he and I have decided to bring it back. So look for that sometime January early. I don't know when for sure. We're waiting till the holidays sort of simmer down and then we're on it.
Yeah. I'll add to that, that interview was very helpful
Yeah, it was good, right? You know what it did? It made me realize it doesn't matter what level of creator you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big shot like Metzen, who, you know, in a lot of ways he would even admit, just sort of found himself in that position because of a lot of, you know, things came together and all the right timings and all the right whatever, and he's the right creative guy and all that stuff. But it doesn't matter. Top of your game at Blizzard, podcasters like you and me, some artist trying to make it on Etsy, it doesn't matter. We all seem to share this, like, creative, what's the word? There's this little weird, awkward space we inhabit. And
you self-critique.
Yeah. All the time.
You are literally your most inflammatory comment section.
Yeah. Right now I'm thinking about how shiny my head is in these lights, for example. as an example. But anyway, I know he's going to have some thoughts, especially after a year of retirement, raising his new daughter. She's almost three now. And back when he retired, she was, you know, wasn't even talking or walking yet. So, that can't be right. The math's wrong. I guess she was a year old. Yeah. So she's three now, but it was a year. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Point is, he'll come talk about it and tell us what's up and what he's into and how many Warhammer figures he's painted since we last spoke, which is probably many because he's super into that. Anyway, there's all of that. How about now we take a dive into... I lost my freaking place. Oh, you know what? To celebrate, we'll play this because you're here. Oh, yeah. Song we all know and love. All right, we're going to talk about what's going on around the rest of Blizzard. The Winter Wonderland event is in high gear over at Overwatch. If you want skins and game modes and stuff, you can go do that. There's the new game mode is five Mays versus one Winston in his Yeti costume or his Yeti skin. And that player is super powerful and hunts around the map for meat. And the more meat he gets, the more powerful he gets. And the closer he gets to his, what's it called? Winston's Enrage thing. I forgot what it's called. Big Red Monkey, that thing. And he's real hard to beat. In fact, when he's in that mode, you can't kill him. You got to get away. So you got to run and hide. And there's traps and there's ways to subdue him and all this other stuff. It sounds like a total blast. I haven't played it yet. My kids have. They loved it. So go check that out if you are so inclined.
Sounds like Evolve. Is it like Evolve?
A little bit. It's like mini Evolve or mini... What was the one? Oh, Left 4 Dead did this a little, didn't they?
They had that as well. And there's that new Friday the 13th game that is also kind of this asymmetrical PvP.
Right. That and Dead by Daylight, those are all kind of the same. Yeah, you're right. I think that's their mode. That's their kind of mode to that. And Jeff Kaplan made it very clear in the video that... this was not for long-term enjoyment. This was for like a fun holiday thing, so don't expect it to be hundreds of hours or the new meta. He really went out of his way to say that. I don't know why. But.
Well, because every time they've been doing this since last year when they started kicking things off with the Summer Games and they gave us Rocket League in Overwatch.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, when are we going to get updates? When are we going to, like, everyone wants it to be another version of an esports. Like, well, no, they're just having fun. They're just trying to build a different game mode with Overwatch's assets.
Yeah, they're dinking around. I wonder if they'll ever end up with like... it always seems like it's not copying, but it's referencing some other popular genre or game.
Yeah.
Like, will they ever do like, I don't know, Minecrafty kind of mode? Or they're going to be... like, I don't know where they go with it, but...
That might take a little more effort than they may want to undertake.
Probably. I mean, the environments alone are probably a different tech. But anyway... we'll see how that goes. Here's something interesting. Goldman Sachs has upgraded Activision Blizzard's shares because they say they're going to get a boost from Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 by 2020.
Wait. What?
All right.
Where is Goldman Sachs getting their information?
Well,
do they know something we don't know?
Not from Blizzard, I can tell you that, because Blizzard has made no such announcements. If these do exist, I'll bet Blizzard's pissed. If they don't exist, I wouldn't be surprised, because this, again, is, you know, these are people hedging bets and, you know, doing futures and trying to figure out what things are going to be worth. This is their whole job at Goldman Sachs, and they're probably just sort of making this up. But here's what they said in a quote. We are raising our 2019 and 2020 estimates on account of a robust multi-year pipeline of games, Diablo, Overwatch 2, and a Blizzard mobile title. Which we don't think street estimates are fully taking into account, according to the firm's analysis.
Diablo sequel, that makes sense. We got to get more Diablo at some point.
Seems likely, right? Maybe not by 2020, or maybe by then. I don't know. If they're deep in it, announcement at BlizzCon next year, a rollout the next year seems right to me.
Yeah.
They will never do a announce it in 06 or 07 and then wait till 2012 to release it. That's a big lesson they learned there. So I think that's possible. But Overwatch 2, I mean, come on. The game's already a service. To what end would a true sequel even be here? Like, what's the point? It's like, here's all the characters you already know, plus two more, plus a couple of maps, something we could have done in the old game. Have fun.
Right. I mean, we could entertain the idea for a bit. Like, I guess they could do it. It's not completely out of the realm of possibility, because Overwatch was and is it's a boxed ship copy. It is a more traditional game in that way. They could Call of Duty this thing, but it's also Blizzard, and I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't think they will either. I do think it's possible that demand for single-player content and what's potentially possible with that story and those characters could yield potentially a sequel or something to that effect. I'd be more like an expansion, though. I still say a sequel seems crazy, like a full-on sequel.
I always bring this question up when this gets, because I want it too, but also, what does a single player campaign for Overwatch even look like? Because I don't have an answer.
No, I mean, I don't really either. I know that when you get a taste of what's possible with things like, I mean, Junkenstein is ridiculous. It's Halloween and, you know, it's not even the real Junkrat really. And it's just sort of this silly Halloween thing. But there are moments when you get those kinds of content in that game where you go, oh, you know, there's more. They could be doing more here. Now, what that means, I don't know. Like, if these are truly characters and stuff taken from the Titan, the leftovers of Titan, clearly they had some story in mind. Well, I know they did, because people like Chris and those who are in charge of that have said as much. They had all sorts of story going on. And the Jainas and the Thralls and the, you know, Khadgars of that world were the Tracers and the Winstons and the Hanzos of that world. So we know that a lot of that stuff existed. How that would play out from a player perspective is completely out of my hands. I have no idea. So I'm with you. I don't know. I have no idea.
How do you choose who's your main character? Are we just hero swapping all the time? Is that too weird?
Yeah. And would it be better if they just released small packs of, like, here's a mission with McCree?
I want like an 8-hour campaign, just Reinhardt's story after that cinematic. Just want to play.
That'd be great,
that.
Dude. That'd be great. It's also rumors of a talked about this on the Exploding Tire yesterday, but the rumors of a 27th character are floating around, and I'm personally rooting for Torbjorn's daughter from that cinematic. That'd be nice. I don't know what she does or what her gig would be, but super into whoever she is. I mean, not in a weird way, everybody. All right, keep your emails to yourselves. I don't mean, you know, I'm not freaky.
Now I know who's making that fan fiction.
Hearthstone is celebrating the holidays with a winter themed tavern brawl. Grandfather Kobold's helpers have been busy decorating the Orgrimmar game board for the tavern brawl, but you can also experience the holiday in Stormwind while enjoying other play modes. This, according to Blizzard in a forum post, and no matter how you play, they say, don't forget to show your opponent some holiday spirit with the return of the Happy Winter's Veil greeting emote. Any thoughts on the brawl? How are you with brawls lately anyway? How's that a thing for you? You like it?
I don't. They don't exist, Scott.
I know. I knew this before.
Every other button you could hit is more interesting.
So maybe that's where the button they replaced with dungeon runs. It's just
I am well documented as the guy that's just like, brawl, not for me. I mean, there's some great ones, but all overall, like, dungeon run just ate its lunch. As far as I'm concerned, it's better than any brawl they've ever made, and it's here to stay. Yeah. I can just always go do a dungeon run. I don't need to. It's not down on Mondays for some unknown reason.
Well, you're like this with Heroes too, or anything. You don't like the brawl stuff. You're not just. It's just you're like, no, yeah, I want to play the proper game.
That's a direction that popped up and started kind of spreading through Blizzard like wildfire that I did not like.
Right.
But if dungeon runs want to start spreading throughout Blizzard, go for it, please, and thank you.
Yeah.
The last Heroes Brawl, the last two, since we got the Heroic Mode 2, were really great.
Yeah, those need to be. I think those need to be something else, like a whole separate piece of work, you know? Like,
yeah.
Kind of like dungeon runs. Make it a more permanent thing. I've never seen anything Heroes-wise that was outside of the main game that was more universally approved of than that by the fan base. People
yeah.
really got into that, so I hope...
I like them from the standpoint that they're most likely there to test new things
yeah.
that are probably going to come in the future. You can point to things like Discover. Mm-hmm. You know, before Discover was out of the Hearthstone, we saw a very similar thing right. in Brawls.
Right.
And the same thing has happened throughout. And I think that I think the payload brawl in Heroes is a test for how the heck they're going to fix Monomora. because there should never have been more than one payload on that battleground at one time. You should have had to all fight over the same payload.
Yeah.
Like an actual game of Overwatch, and I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know. It seems like Bo on Core had some reason why that wouldn't be as good, but I think when Hanamura comes out of hiding, I think that's the change we're going to see. It's going to be one payload.
As long as it takes Haunted Minds with it, I don't care.
Still not a fan, huh?
No, it's not. Somewhere along the line, Garden of Terror moved above Haunted Minds.
Whoa, that's hardcore.
My most hated battleground.
That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about Haunted Minds. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. But speaking of the world of Heroes of the Storm, Hanzo is out now. The venerable Shimada clan dude from Overwatch is now part of Heroes of the Storm. He's really good outside poker, got good range. I think he needs a lot of help with his trait. We were discussing the other day on Core how he's supposed to be able to jump over walls. That's his whole trait thing, and he's kind of terrible at it. I think it's just a little janky and broken. I think it's a tech thing, like a what the engine is letting him do kind of problem. I think they can probably get over that and fix it, but it's super hard to pull off and it doesn't work the way you want it to. But his ults are amazing. His kit generally is pretty cool. He's pretty rad. So if you're into Hanzo and you want to have him in another place, he is now part of the Nexus.
I'm already tired of making the wrong assumption as to the angle he's using his ult, because every single time Taquito Grill has been used against me.
Yep.
It's like, do I go left or do I go right? And whatever direction I choose, that's the direction he angled it towards.
Well, his what's it called? The other one, Dragon Arrow, whatever it is, the alternate one. That thing will go map wide, pass through all structures. Won't stop if it goes through minions or any of that. It'll only hit players. And when it does, it's got a huge stun for like 2 seconds or something. It's a pretty gnarly stun. And I have been like Tyrande'd across the map by that thing with low health and killed. It's insane what that thing will do if you're lucky.
It's gross. And I have that. I'm not a Hanzo player. I don't think I ever will be. But you still have that. The fantasy in your head that you're on comms with your buddy's chasing someone down, he can't catch him, and you're like, I got your back, friend, and you just stun them from the freaking altar.
It's pretty good. Anyway, he's out, he's good. No one's as good as Stukov, though. He's still the best hero in the game, so that's my opinion. I stick by it.
I think that's a safe opinion to have.
I freaking love him. Oh my gosh, I love him so much. It's almost like all I play now. Anyway, if you want to get more detail on all this stuff, there's plenty of other shows to check out on the network. You can check out Core and, of course, ITN, Into the Nexus, with Garrett Weinzierl and Kyle Ferguson is another great show about Heroes of the Storm. We really enjoy what they do, so check them out as well. And, of course, if you want all the Hearthstone you can stand, The Angry Chicken is your place to go for that. What else we got here? Check this out.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, Town Crier time, where we take your emails. theinstance@gmail.com is the email address to use, and we got one from somebody named Day Gregor. Watch out for the Day Gregors. He says this: I think you mentioned in your last episode that quests to unlock allied races will become available once we get adequate rep with factions, like Army of the Light equals Lightforge Draenei and so on. What about the Zandalari trolls? Do you have any thoughts on them? I have exalted rep with the Zandalari from back in the day. It would be great if Blizzard were to give old school players who have maxed out rep with these factions something special today. Maybe they can skip over some of that stuff, is kind of his idea. Thanks, says Day Gregor. I highly doubt you all be able to rely on vanilla or BC content rep grind as a free ticket in. However, I don't think it's going to be as simple as just rep grind. I think it's more questy based. Like you, I may be wrong on some of this, but I think a lot of it is just like do these quest lines, get them done. You've gained the favor of whoever, and now you can be one of those sub races. I don't think they're going to just make you do. You're not going to be doing dailies every day for months to get. To get a you know, one of these level 20 characters, so I'm not too worried.
Maybe
about
not
that.
For months, but I could see a daily grind having to go down for this.
Yeah, a little bit. But, maybe like flying or whatever. Maybe a little less than that, hopefully, because flying's a pain in the ass. I hate it.
Oh, I mean, flying's a massive grind. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that bad.
Yeah.
For the individual races, but I'm sure there'll be a bit of a grind. However, I'm with you. I don't think this is going to happen, but. Boy, that would be cool if it did. Like, because I don't care. So some hardcore vanilla NPC players get earlier access to a couple races than I do. I just think that's kind of, that would be a really cool, like, Easter egg addition for folks that do have a ton of rep with really old factions.
It'd be a hoot, right? You'd walk up to the dude, you'd click him, he'd go, I see you've already done this. Sweet, we've got you on a list. You just go right in. Like, that would be cool, but I don't think they're going to do it. I could be wrong. I guess by all I'm saying is to answer his question directly. I like his idea. I like what you just said. I'm just saying I don't think they'll do it because it requires them to kind of jump through hoops in this really arbitrary way about old content versus new content, and I don't think that they are going to do that. It just seems like a non-Blizzard thing to do. They're going to let bygones be bygones. I got one more here from... Oh, who's this? This is, I didn't get his name. Hold on. It is from this Dominic. Is his name. And he says this. On a past episode, there was a good idea to invite friends of the show on for a perspective about the state of their favorite class. Perhaps Garrett could be first. What does he main again? A Death Knight, was it? Loving all this WoW talk lately, and Garrett is a great guest. Well, you got a fan out there, Garrett.
Aw, thank you. Dominic, you said?
Yeah, Dominic is his name.
Thanks,
so,
Dominic.
So, I mean, you kind of said earlier.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of got into this, but I've been all over the landscape with World of Warcraft. My first main ever was a Night Elf Hunter.
Yeah.
Because everyone's was. and I played that Hunter from Vanilla, and I didn't really abandon him until Ulduar patch dropped in Lich King.
Wow.
So raided through BC with him. I didn't raid in vanilla. I raided through BC on that. And then, I learned how to tank at the end of BC. And I had like, I had a warrior, secondary main going into Lich King. And I just really wanted to tank. And, I decided to swap to Horde to play with some of my college buddies. And that's when I swapped to Paladin and I just started main tanking Ulduar on a Blood Elf Pally. And that Paladin was my main for the longest stretch of time.
Yeah.
So I kind of identify with Paladin more than anything. And then this expansion swapped into Death Knight. And like I said, I just realized I don't really like playing them. And I think for me, it just comes down to lack of movement abilities.
What happened to the Paladin in specific, do you think? And can it be fixed? Like, why did the long love for Paladin dashed against the rocks?
For me, it was just raiding. I started DPSing instead of tanking. I think Protection Pally is really fun right now. I really like what they did with Protection Paladin, but there's just no room for me to tank, and I don't want to play Rhett, and I've never enjoyed healing.
Yeah, good point.
So that's just kind of what it comes down to there.
I hate healing in World of Warcraft. I love healing in Heroes of the Storm. I don't know why that is. Isn't that weird? I love support right now in Heroes, and I can't stand healing in WoW.
I like PvP healing in WoW. If you want to PvP with me, and if my Disc Priest is actually max level, which it is not, so I can't help you. But back in the day, I would be there with bells on my Disc Priest throwing speed boosting bubbles at you.
Oh, bells. I thought they were testicles. Now it's all making sense now. Now
that explains why you've always referred to me as the giver of testicles.
Garrett Wines Earl and his testicles in PvP. Can always count on that. Hey, thank you, Dominic, for your email. And yeah, I like this idea, actually, of having people come in and talk about their classes all this time later. There's this funny thing we used to do back in the very early days of the show. Not funny, but we used to have, back when all these classes were new in 2006-ish, we would have somebody come on and do like a real deep dive into what the mages do and how do these druids work and that sort of thing. And I like the idea on this other side of this giant many-year sandwich having some of us come on and just talk about the state of these classes, like what drew people to them in the first place. How do they feel about them now? Why did they drift away, or why are they still sticking to it? Like, there's a lot of good questions about that. And speaking of which, my first character ever was a night elf hunter as well. And his name is Roy. And I can't believe I got a three-letter name for a character, and he's still on like Suramar or somewhere like that.
You can't get rid of three-letter names.
Never.
You gotta hold on to those for your life, even though you'll never go back to Suramar or whatever.
That's right. But here's the funny thing: I had a name for an orc somewhere that I haven't played in ages. I think the same server is where I had it, and I got an email from Blizzard back in like 2009 or 2010 saying, "We've taken that name. So sorry."
Oh, that's unfortunate. It's a sad day. What? I mean, what drew you to hunter, man? I mean, what's your answer to that question?
I'm always a rangy guy. I like range. I don't like melee. And that's been true for as long as I can remember. Like, if go back to games like even Diablo 1 or 2, I didn't like anything where I had to be right up in somebody's face and hitting them. Just not my thing. For whatever reason, I don't know why. It's just always been that way with RPGs. If you could give me range with some sort of magic caster, or someone with an arrow. I play Skyrim this way. Like, it's just my thing. I've softened on that a bit in recent years, but that's primarily the reason. And also at the time, what I liked about Hunter was I like pet management a lot. I like the idea of having this AI creature that I maintain and control, and I can build lore around in my head. And you know, the whole GURP and Henry thing goes pretty deep for me. So, you know, it's that. It's just that kind of that whole package of, you know what it is? I realize what it is. And now that I'm thinking about this a little bit more, I know what it is. I the things I love most in popular culture are almost always having something to do with some lone hero or person or protagonist in the middle of nowhere trying to make things work for himself. So whether that's Mad Max and my love of that world, or it's games like Metroid. I absolutely love Metroid games, but never when they add more characters to it. I want Samus out in the middle of space, nowhere, with no help, trying to get her shit done. And she just got her wits and a couple of abilities. And that's really interesting to me. And I like deserts, and I like big open spaces. And the idea of an orc hunter with just he and his dog, basically, in the middle of a giant desert called Durotar, it sticks with my whole thing. So
that's part of what drew me to hunter in the first place as well. Except for me, it was like forests and jungles of creeping through the trees,
just
trying not to make a sound and being able to win a fight like Patriot style.
Sure.
The first action scene in The Patriot where they take out a whole convoy with just three dudes.
That's right. I remember that movie only because of the cannonballs took people's legs out, and I thought that was crazy at the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's it's a fun movie, despite Mel Gibson's interesting career.
Yeah, I would agree. So bringing us back to Star Wars for a second, because this reminds me of that. So for me, the planet I will always be the most in love with is Tatooine or planets like it. So Jakku is like that for me. I just like big desert, abandoned, rickety shit like that. What is so? I'm taking it from the jungle theme that you're going to tell me something like the one of the freaking moons or something with
jungle. Well, the forest moon of Endor is probably like when I think of a Star Wars planet, that's the first thing that pops into my head.
Okay.
Just the giant trees and speeder bikes whizzing between them and AT-STs just stomping on everything. And that's something, that's an aesthetic I really get behind. And it's probably just because you grew up in Utah, so you had red rocks and deserts. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Florida, and we have a lot of forests here. Yeah. It'll just, even if you live in a cul-de-sac, there is probably a deep thicket of oaks a block over that you can just go and pretend to be Indiana Jones in. And that's exactly what I did growing up.
That's pretty cool, actually. I hadn't thought about that, but I think you're right. Maybe we were informed by where we are geographically, but.
Yeah, I mean, where'd you have your childhood adventures? Or you might also go like the opposite, like whatever's alien to you. Because I'm also intrigued by snow planets and snow settings, because I had never had any of that growing up.
Yeah, me too, except I did have snow growing up. We have snow every winter, and it gets pretty cold. And Hoth was initially very off-putting for me when I was a kid. I'd see Empire Strikes Back and go, this is too cold. This is too much snow. I don't like this. But that grew on me over time. Like I'm now, it's now, you know, one of my, well, it's one of, it's my favorite movie of all time. I love Empire Strikes Back. It's not the best movie in the last 10 years. That's Mad Max Fury Road. But anyway.
Of course it is.
The point is that, yeah, like that had to grow on me a little bit. But yeah, like maybe when something's foreign to you or there's just something magical. It's why I love Westerns. There's something magical about a place that's slightly untouched and man is just another creature there and there are more dangerous things in him and just that kind of whole thing is my jam. So as it swings, you know, as it applies to Warcraft, I've always been more attracted to that. And people may remember this, but right before Cataclysm, the day before it launched, I went and parked Henry and GURP in Thousand Needles back when it wasn't a giant lake, when it was just a big, empty, deserty, balanced rock looking, you know, Grand Canyon kind of thing. And I went and parked their butts there overnight while the servers changed. Because I have this backstory that's where GURP was born and raised by a Tauren, or was found by this Tauren and then raised there. And so I thought, well, this will be cool. I'll just go park him in there. And when I woke up the next day, GURP was dead because he had, you know, oh, no. He was just up on top of the water. That's what it was. He was treading water up there. And it was super cool because, you know, and then somebody maybe, I can't see it in here because it's over here, but I have this painting, a fan made of GURP and Henry sitting at the base of that place as the waters from Cataclysm are coming crashing into it. Like, it's so in my brain that those are the places I would spend my time. Like, if you said to me right now, hey, Scott, where are you going to retire and die? I'd say, just put me out there in the desert someplace in some shack. I don't need anything else. Just water, you know. I need water, and that's it. I'll go kill my own food, eat lizards, whatever.
Yeah. My answer would be Booty Bay, man. It's the Key West of World of Warcraft.
That's true. It is, and there's a big, huge, big ass jungle right next to it.
Yeah, a bunch of salt soaked docks and a ton of weirdos just walking around.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's totally your thing. I could see that. But and also, I found Henry. Henry was in Stranglethorn, so I got history over there. I miss those days.
Yeah, my favorite pet for my hunter is a winter saber named Vader that I got from Winter Spring.
A saber named Vader. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you might be a Star Wars fan. I'm just going to say it out loud.
A little bit. A little bit.
Just a tiny bit. Well, I can't thank you enough for being with me today. Like I said, folks, not a ton of WoW stuff going on. The holidays are here. People are, you know, they're just hunkering down. Some people are raiding, but for the most part, things get a little quiet on the news front. But we are really glad we could bring you a show today. Garrett, before we go, we should probably let people know more about the places they can find you if they don't already. We got a lot of shared fans, but for those who don't know, where can they find more Garrett, more Hearthstone, more Heroes? Where do they go?
Well, the website is amove.tv, but if you run yourself a search for the Angry Chicken for Hearthstone, if you run yourself a search for Into the Nexus for Heroes of the Storm, you'll go get your Blizzard fix, at least with my voice, even though I know you can get it right here with Scott's too.
Yeah. Well, it's good. Two voices are better than one. We confirm a lot of things. It's, I don't know. I'm making that up. But it's good. It's always good to have more sources than one, I say.
Yeah, yeah. I would say, given the many Star Wars references today, go find Let's Talk About Star Wars. That's the one. Because Sunday, we're spoiling The Last Jedi. And it'll be up for your Monday morning commute. So if you're not already subscribed to Let's Talk About Star Wars with Tom Merritt, Jenny Josephson, and myself, go check it out.
Yeah, it's a good show. I can't wait to listen to it. I'm going to see the movie today. I'll have lots to think and talk about, so it's a great way to settle in. So do that. Also, Garrett Art on Twitter, everybody. Make sure you follow him there. Give him your love. Chat room, I want to thank you guys for being here today. If you're looking for more shows like this one, you can find them at frogpants.com. Oh, gosh. What else do we have going? I'm trying to think if there's anything else here. Maybe not. No, we got nothing else. That's it. Instant show on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find Terpster at _T, not Patrick for Patrick. They should be back. Hopefully next week, although I don't know what's going on with the Christmas stuff. We'll figure it out. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Have a fantastic week. Garrett, thank you very much. We'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Profit-driven policy change leads to funding freefall. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The Night Elves are an ancient race, so it comes as no surprise that they have a long history of creating beautiful works of art, be it statues, paintings, poetry, or theater. But fine art does not come cheaply, and with the increasing monetary burden of the war against the Legion, support for the arts in government budgets has decreased markedly. In an effort to keep this cultural tradition from fading, Elvish artists recently turned to direct citizen funding as an alternative. They were aided in this by the Order of the Herring, a semi-religious benevolent organization in Rutheran Village, which developed a system for managing contributions. Those wishing to give to the arts would offer their donations on a grassy area between Teldersil's roots near the village, and the order would gather them, tally the total, and distribute them to worthy artists, after taking a small cut for themselves, of course. But last week, the order announced a large fee increase, with the bulk of the benefits going to the Middle Elves. Negative reaction was swift, contributions plummeted, and artists were up in arms, or paws, wings, and limbs in the case of druids, over both the financial impact and not being consulted about the new fees. Their benevolent reputation in tatters, the Herring rescinded the plan yesterday. It remains to be seen if their business model, known as Prey Tree Lawn, will survive the debacle. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at FrogPants.com.